Those who study sacred scriptures, the scholars of today, they say Mark, the Gospel of Mark, was the first one among the four Gospels to be written. They were not written while Jesus was still, preaching. He didn't have a biographer taking notes, nothing like that. But the Gospels were written later on when other communities outside of, Israel or Palestine of Jesus' time, they began as the apostles left Jerusalem and started preaching about Jesus. So those communities who had never heard about Jesus, who had never had the chance, they needed, something, and so they started writing the Gospels so that, first some stories, and then, like Mark was the first one who put together the whole story, and, for a community, so they would have a way of knowing Jesus. And we have today a way of knowing Jesus through the Gospels. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest one. And it's very interesting. Last Sunday was a very, very important point in the Gospel, when Jesus questioned his disciples, asking, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he asked his own disciples, "And who do you say that I am?" And Peter, in the name of the disciple, said, "You are the Messiah." So, the chosen one, the Christ, the Lord. And of course, it is a question that each one of us, we need to answer that. But basically, up to this point, and even today, we see that every time Jesus was preaching, that we find in the Gospel of Mark, or most of the time, or he performed the miracle, it says that his disciples did not understand. It's, for me, has always been quite striking. So why is this always repeating? His disciples did not understand. If we see today, they are walking. This happened after, after last week's Jesus asking them, "Who do you say that I am?" So he is with his disciples alone. He's not with a big crowd. And he's talking something from his heart. Jesus is telling them, "When you go to Jerusalem, and there something important will happen. I'll be handed over to the man, to the people in charge, and they will condemn me to death. But 3 days later, God will come to the rescue. God will raise me up." And the disciples, they said they did not understand, but they were afraid of asking. He says they did not understand. They had no clue what Jesus was somehow talking about, But then it comes out why they could not understand, most probably. Because when they were, they came to Capernaum and they were at the house, and Jesus said, "By the way, what were you discussing, talking about along the way?" And they remained silent. I think they were kind of ashamed, fearful, because Jesus knew they were discussing who was the greatest, who was the most important among them. See, they most probably had that idea that Jesus going to Jerusalem, once he reached Jerusalem, he would be crowned a king. And what better way of going to Jerusalem than being the best friend, the king's best friend? They probably said, "Well, we're going to get some positions there." Other parts of the gospel tells about that. When two of his disciples came to Jesus, one seat in your right and the other one on your left. They had that idea. They were not totally sure of Jesus' message. They were questioning. But then Jesus gave them a lesson. He said, you want to be the greatest, you should be the last. You want to be first, you must be the servant of all. to be a servant. That's what it means to follow Jesus. But the disciples could not understand, in many situations could not understand, because they were not listening with their heart. Can we listen with our heart? I think we can. Sometimes we do listen only with our ears. But, you know, we have a saying. You know, they say, it comes in one and go out. It goes out on the other. I mean, it doesn't stay there because we are not paying attention. And that's what, how could they pay attention to what Jesus was saying? If they were thinking, oh, who is the most important? You know, who is the best? Who is the most beautiful? I don't know, you know. Who's the best dressed? You know, sometimes so many things going on in their minds, they could not listen. They couldn't say even not, you know, say yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes, but they had no clue because they're not paying attention. 1 minute later, that was gone. And we can question ourselves. How many times have we listened? How many homilies in our lives? How many, perhaps, talks or retreats that we have been part of, and how much of that did remain with us? There's so many things that we just, you know, come to our ears and say, yes, 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 yeah, 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 and that's it. After that, it's all gone. I say that because of, you know, how long I've been, you know, my years in seminary and this and that, some, you know, the studies, and I said, well, what has remained of all the things that we did study? And sometimes there are some words or that homily or that preaching that caught my attention and really resonates with my life, and I say, wow. Or I go to a retreat and I hear, wow, never seen this before, never heard this gospel before. And probably we have heard like 20 times. It's just that you didn't listen with your heart. And that reminds me of once the bishop was saying. He was talking about a homily that he was called a very important mass. All masses are important, but there are some that are solemn. And he had that solemn mass, and this bishop said, and I prepared my homily. He said, yeah, you know, I had all written 10-page homily. Now, bishops are allowed to have a 10-page homily. Pastors are not. But bishops are allowed to have a 10-page homily. So he had a 10-page homily, and he was reading from the podium because, had, of course, he had 10-page. You cannot, you know, how could you manage to be walking with 10-page homily? So he had that, and he was reading, you know, preaching from his notes and what he had written. And when he would get to the bottom of the page, he would just say aloud. He could just think about what he was saying. Oh, let's turn the page. And he continued preaching, and let's turn the page. And at the end of the mass, no, we are greeting people, and people, quite a few people, I have to tell you, say, thank you, Father, beautiful homily, nice preaching. And we don't have time, but sometimes we ask, what did you like most? Well, everything, you know, everything was so nice. But this day, this lady came to the bishop and said to him, oh, thank you. I think you changed my life with your preaching. And the bishop was, oh, nice. What exactly did I say that you really touched you? It's time to turn the page. In her life, he said, it's time. Sometimes you get stuck in something. Sometimes you have to turn the page. And said, it's time to turn the page. So you never know. That's when she listened with her heart. That word, I don't know if the bishop meant to, really was a time to turn the page. But that's how, you know, listen with one's heart. And the disciples were not listening with their hearts. That's why they could not understand what Jesus was saying. May the Lord give us, each one of us, the gift of listening with an open heart, so that His words won't be just words that the wind carries away, but will be words that we cherish and will help us also to move on in our lives with more inspiration, with more, you know, meaning, because that's what we get from Him. And it is with open hearts that I invite you to listen. We have Amanda, who talked to us about how can we be missionaries today in a very, very concrete way. Welcome.